Good morning, and a warm welcome to you all, although I'm sorry it's not as warm as it might be this morning, because the boiler didn't fire up this morning, so it was late in going on. A special welcome to anybody who's visiting this morning, and of course a very special welcome to Jean Forbes, whom we haven't seen for a while. She's back in the hot seat this morning, while Attie has a short break. There are some SOLU activity bags over at the front of the church here for any youngsters to enjoy at any time during the service. Just come forward and help yourself to one, and the only thing we ask is that you put it back after the service. The Reverend Isabel Buchan, who has been our interim moderator for the 3 years of this vacancy, is retiring from her charge at Bucky North Church. I haven't got an exact date, but it will be within the next month or so, I think. We are very grateful to Isabel for guiding us throughout this vacancy, and we want to mark her retirement with a gift. If any of you wish to make a contribution to this, please hand it to one of the elders as soon as possible. Isabel and Atty are exchanging pulpits 2 weeks today, so ideally Alistair would like to make the presentation that day. That may not happen, but that's what we would like to happen. I would ask for your prayers for Jim Gibson and his family. Jim came through his operation on Tuesday very well, but has now developed an infection and is very ill in the high dependency unit in Dr. Grace. So let's remember them in our prayers. The choir will now sing the introit.
Good morning, and it's nice to be back. I met Atty just about a week ago, so I think if we get him to Bucky for a week, you might not get him back. He's just a lovely, lovely person. John 12:34, very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. We begin this morning with Mission Praise 192. God of grace and God of glory, on thy people pour thy power.
Glory.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, which you pour out in us daily, the righteousness given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe, the favor we receive that we do not deserve. As we gather this morning, we pray that we will experience a renewal of your love and a deeper knowledge of your will for our lives, so that we might indeed display your glory. Lord, we give thanks for your grace, for out of darkness we can come to you for light, out of sorrow we can come to you for joy, out of doubts we can come to you for assurance, out of worries we can come to you for peace, and out of failures we can come to you for forgiveness. Father, we are ever conscious of our need for forgiveness, and acknowledge that in all the stress and rush of life, it is so easy to forget you and lose our way. In the press of each day, we allow you to be crowded out, preoccupied with our own concerns, plans, and needs. Lord, teach us to untangle ourselves from the snare of self-interest and put you at the center of our lives, that we might examine our lifestyle and ask, is everything quite as it should be? And ask ourselves, how far do we measure up to the faith we profess? Draw close to us and fill us with your Spirit. Nurture the seed of faith within us, that we might cultivate the fruits you desire to see. And prepare us, Lord, for your coming again, that we may be ready to receive you and found faithful in your service. Take our lives, cleanse, heal, and renew, that we may worship and serve you with grateful hearts. As we pray in the words that Jesus taught, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I don't know if I've read this before to you here, I can't remember, but it's Heaven's Grocery Store. Marching down life's highway, my feet became very sore. I then came upon a sign that read, Heaven's Grocery Store. When I got closer, the door swung open wide. Next thing I knew, I was standing there inside. I saw a flock of angels positioned everywhere. They handed me a basket, said, Child, shop with care. Everything a human required was in that grocery store. With many commodities to carry, you could always come back for more. First, I acquired some patience. Love was in the same row. Further down was understanding. You require that wherever you go. I grabbed a box of wisdom and faith, a bag or two, and obtained charity, of course, but more than just a few. And then reached for courage to help me run this wicked race. My basket was almost full, but remembered some loving grace. I then chose salvation, for it was advertised as free. I tried to collect enough of it for both you and me. Then I started to the counter to pay my grocery bill, for I thought I had everything to do my master's will. As I went up the aisle, I saw prayer and proceeded to put it that in, for I knew when I stepped outside, I was bound to encounter sin. Peace and joy were plentiful, the last thing on that shelf. Song and praises were hanging near, so I just helped myself. Then I asked an angel, Now how much do I owe? She smiled and said, Just take them wherever you may go. Again I asked, No really, how much do I owe? My child, she said, God paid your bill a long, long time ago. We sing again, Mission Praise 452, Loved with Everlasting Love.
Our first reading comes from Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning at verse 31 to 34. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenants I made before with their forefathers, when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt. Because they broke my covenant, though I was husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. And our second reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 12, beginning at verse 20. Jesus predicts his death. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now, my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for the judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. The crowd spoke up, "We have heard from the law that the Christ will remain forever. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus told them, "You are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before he is going. Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of light." When he had finished speaking, Jesus lifted and hid himself from them. Amen.
Thank you, June. We sing again Mission Praise 544. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Amen. There's a story in a book called The Unexpected Universe about a man called the Star Thrower. A man was walking on the beach one day and noticed a boy who was reaching down, picking up a starfish and throwing it into the ocean. As he approached, he called out, "Hello, what are you doing?" The boy looked up and said, "I'm throwing the starfish into the ocean." "Why are you throwing a starfish into the ocean?" asked the man. "The tide stranded them. If I don't throw them in the water before the sun comes up, they'll die," he answered. "Surely," said the man, "you realize that there are miles of beach and thousands of starfish. You'll never throw them all back. There are too many. You can't possibly make a difference." The boy listened politely, then picked up another starfish, and as he threw it into the sea, he said, "It made a difference for that one." The children's story has a lot to say about Jesus and about ourselves. Some of those shellfish were very beautiful, and so after they were cast up on the beach, professional collectors and sellers would descend in the beach and swoop up all the shells, take them home, boil them, clean out all the flesh with the animals inside, and then sell them to tourists. Some of the shells were very valuable, for they were very rare, and lots of money could be made by a diligent collector. Again, the man said, "How can you make a difference when all this collecting's going on?" Again, the boy replied as he threw another starfish back into the sea, "It made a difference to that one." You see, in the midst of this world, most people exploit things for their own benefits, take every advantage to get ahead, to gain more than they already have. And even the things of exceptional beauty are not exempt. Given the right circumstances, people rush to pick up that which is suddenly and unexpectedly made available, ignoring meanwhile the suffering that is all around them in their hurry to look after themselves. Jesus was a star thrower. He moved among people who were like dying starfish, who were longing for the ocean from which they had been tossed. Instead of taking what he could from the ocean, Jesus sought not to enhance and enrich his own life. He paid attention to those who were in need. He collected the living and sought to restore stranded souls. In obedience to a higher law, Jesus came among us to rescue and reclaim lost souls, to set all free from the power of sin and death by returning us to the ocean of God's love, God's law, and God's power. He came to restore wholeness to those who lay helpless and stranded upon the shore of life, because either the tide or wind had cast them, or as so often the case with us, we have thoughtlessly and foolishly stranded ourselves on the shore. Jesus did this at a great cost to himself. As we heard, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He renounced everything for the sake of bringing life to those around him, his family, his home, and finally, his very life. He lay down so that others might live, so that others might know the blessings of God, so that others would be returned to the ocean of God's love. It's a beautiful hymn. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it and its scans. Here is love vast as the ocean, loving kindness as the flood, where the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. On the Mount of Crucifixion, fountains opened deep and wide. Through the floodgates of God's mercy flowed a vast and gracious tide. Grace and love like mighty rivers poured incessant from above, and heaven's peace and perfect justice kissed a guilty world in love. We are often stranded and insecure people, and the only way we can find security is in the ocean of God's love. But this story is also challenging us to be star throwers. Some might say the cost is too high for any of us, for we are not Jesus. We do not have the special power that he had, and it's true, we are not Jesus, but we are called to follow him and to have his mind within us. And it's true, too, that Jesus had some special gifts. But remember, in his word, God promised through Christ to supply us with the same gifts if we would but walk with Jesus as he walks with us. The power of Jesus, the love of Jesus, the compassion of Jesus, the joy and the sorrow of Jesus, and the life everlasting are all available to us for the asking and the wanting, if we but follow him. Willing to walk as he walked and die as he died in obedience to the Father. Jesus said, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. He warns the man who loves his life in this world will lose it, but the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternity. This is part of the law of God given in the new covenant, the law that should be written upon our hearts, and which, if it is fruitful in us, if we allow ourselves to hear it and to heed it. Jesus knew the inner law of God, this law that states that the more we seek for ourselves, the more attached we become to the life we have, the more we seek to avoid pain and suffering, the more we ignore the needs of others and seek only to meet our own, the more wretched we become, and the closer to death we are. Jesus did not want the pain in the cross. He did not want death. He prayed to God that the cup would pass by him. Imagine how he felt when his family doubted him, his friends betrayed him. But even so, he was faithful to the law of life. He knew that by caring for others, by putting the love of God and neighbor ahead of his own desire, that God would be glorified, that many who were lost would be found, and that he would be raised up, not just on a cross of suffering, but on a cross of glory as well. What profits a man to gain the whole world, but lose his own soul? There are many lost souls and cling desperate to their families, for they crave acceptance and love, and hope to find it by gaining power and influence, or by simply doing whatever anyone asks, no matter how good or bad it may be for them. Others drug themselves into a stupor to avoid the pain they feel, to deaden themselves all feelings, for they do not like themselves, nor do they find joy in the world. There are so many who hold so tightly onto their lives in fear that they refuse to experience that life in all its fullness that is available to them in both good and bad times. Turned in themselves, turned into their own needs, rather than turned outwards towards the world. Consider for a minute the people we find the most difficulty with. Those we who find difficult to like and hard to love. Think of those whom we pity, and it's then that we should reach out, but we do not. We need to reach out for the strength and grace that God has given us to love them. That's dying to self. But is that not the hard part? We know we should, but we find it so difficult. I believe many of us share this in common, wrapped up in ourselves, clinging to things that others have put aside, whether it's resentments, hates, or fears, or more simply, just as difficult to deal with, an inflated estimate of ourselves. Who are the people we do admire? Who are the people we should admire? Is it those who win the lottery, or those who are famous for building some great company or winning some great achievement? And they deserve that. But the question is, do we recognize and admire deep within us those who show true love for others? Those who have accepted us and others in their weaknesses as well as in their strengths? Don't we want just to hug and encourage them and thank them for what they do? To give them a bit of what they give to others. Jesus put this very strongly at times, as he said, those who love their lives will lose them, but those who hate their lives in this world will save them. The truth is meant to grab your attention and to remind you that you often stand in the way of what God has in mind for you to see and experience. One commentator wrote on this passage, "So often when walking in the forest, all the lumberjack sees are trees that are ripe for harvesting. All the carpenter sees are the different kinds of wood for different kinds of furniture and buildings. All the hunter sees is the place in which animals might hide when the season is open. And all the farmer sees is fertile land that could benefit from clearing. But the forest is a wondrous place, full of magic, full of beauty, full of life and full of God's presence for those who walk in it with eyes free to see it and with hearts free of the desire to make it into something that meets their own needs. But what we really need in life cannot be grasped by us. It cannot be fashioned by our own desperate efforts. It cannot be bought. It can only be received as a gift from God. A gift that comes to all who give up trying to grasp it, trying to fashion it, trying to take it. A gift that comes to all who follow Jesus, who love God and those around them, and those God has entrusted to their care. Jesus is our star thrower, walked among us, who cared for the living and sought to restore all to the ocean of his love. Because he was faithful in this, God glorified him was glorified by those around Jesus, those who felt his care and compassion. They praised God for what Jesus said and did, for the love that he poured out in them, and they in turn gave it back to him. Love given is love multiplied. Love only taken is love lost. God himself glorified Christ upon the cross. He multiplied the work that Jesus did on earth, rewarding him for his faithfulness. And by granting to all who call in his name and walk in his ways, forgiveness for sin and life everlasting. Jesus was a seed like you or I. He was a seed which did not stay lifeless in the bag, but instead fell to the ground and gave up all that made him a single seed, thereby giving life to others. Like the star thrower, although he could have enriched himself in this world, he chose to follow the law of love, and in doing so conquered evil and destroyed the power of sin and death. We need to empty ourselves, a desire to save others' lives rather than our own, and to turn to Jesus and call in his name and his strength, that we might become seeds, not remaining lifeless in the bag, but rather one that falls to the ground and receives new life and gives new life to the world around. Alone we are nothing. We have no power that lasts beyond the day, but with God we are a mighty host. Our world is full of starfish, stranded on the shore, longing for the ocean. Are we leading them by our words and deeds into that ocean, that mighty ocean of God's love? I pray we are. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to be worthy of you, and we are so grateful that you came with your ocean of love and drew us back. Lord, help us to help others to reach and to find your amazing love and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. May the mind of Christ, my Saviour, live in me from day to day, by his love and power controlling all I do and say.
Thank you. This is a point at which our members of the congregation get the opportunity to offer up a prayer on behalf of us all. And I would like to do that this morning. So let us pray. Almighty God, we're gathered here today to praise your name and give you thanks for the privileged lives that you've granted us. Living in this wonderful country, which seems so physically remote from the worldly troubles we witness through the media. Despite the reality of war, the reality of violence and famine, we are aware of your presence as you guide and support us personally, especially in times of sorrow and need. You are a wonderful God, and we know that you are with us as we put our faith in you. We give thanks for our church family here at St. Andrew's Lanbride in Urquhart. We thank you for our minister, Atty, and pray that you will look after him as he has embarked on a new life, spreading the good news of your gospel here in his new home of Scotland. We thank you, Father, for Jean's presence here today as she preaches your word. We give thanks for all who work so hard in your name during the time of our vacancy to sustain and grow our church community. We are working to take your word into the wider community and ask that you would continue to support Tim and his outreach within the community, especially connecting with the youngsters of our parish. In broader terms, we pray, Lord, that you will be with the leaders of our country. Help them to make the right decisions on behalf of us, particularly at this difficult time when selecting a new prime minister and leading us through the current political crisis we as a nation find ourselves in. We pray, Lord, for our Queen and her royal family, in whom we are all so proud. May she continue to reign over us. Dear God, we ask this and your continued blessing upon us all. Amen.
Your offering will now be received. accept these gifts brought out of your providing for us. May they be used wisely to enrich your kingdom and reach out to other people. In Jesus' name, amen. I think we should have a nice word about this wee chap down here. He's been so good. What's his name? JJ. Hello. He's going to completely ignore me. He's just been wonderful. We sing our closing hymn, "When we walk with the Lord in the light of his way, what a glory he sheds on our way." May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all this day and forevermore.